We are beginning a series tonight on praying effectively, and we need this series. The church, this church, but the church at large needs this series. In the last generation, prayer has been devalued, not just in our culture. The church. It has everything to do with the moral decay in our nation. It has everything to do with the lukewarm condition of the church. And I believe that God is calling us back to prayer. I know some of you are thinking, oh, we hadn't left, but I'm just telling you, back to a place of more prayer, realizing, let's get this right, that He is the answer. And how do we get His help? It is by prayer. Now, I've said this, and I'm going to keep saying it, because we need to tear down some strongholds. The main reason that people don't pray or don't pray more is because they don't really think it will matter. If we know that our prayers are effective and they're going to make a difference, we will pray more. This series is not going to be complicated. This is going to be simple truths from the Scripture that will help us pray more with more confidence and pray in faith. I'm going to tell you, I don't have any new truth for you. I'm also going to tell you, you need to be careful when somebody's got some new truth. Here's the truth. Jesus said to the Father, "Your word is truth." Somebody got some new truth? They need to go back to the book. Because I want to tell you, right here is the truth that we need. So I'm going to give you simple truths from the Word, but here's the thing. Sometimes, you see, even truths that we know somewhere in our head, we need to be reminded of some things. We need to go back to some truths, that, you know, some things that are foundational, things that are really important. And, well, sometimes we just need to get our thinking right. We need a little bit of a attitude adjustment. Right? Anybody ever give your kid an attitude adjustment? Well, we need an attitude adjustment. We need to get the right heart, the right attitude about prayer, that this is an awesome thing, that this is so powerful, it's so critical, it's so important in our life and in the church and in this world. So, yeah, not complicated. But yet, I believe that it's something that can truly change our lives and make a difference in this world. We just got to remember who we're praying to. He's Almighty God. I mean, we're singing those songs tonight, you know. He is awesome. He is all-powerful. There's not anything that He cannot do. I mean, His power is beyond your imagination. You know, they talk about just our sun, not to mention the billions and billions and billions and billions times billions and billions of stars that are bigger than our sun. And each one is like billions of atomic bombs going off at once. Can you imagine that? Well, sort of. But you can't even imagine the power of the one who spoke it all into being by the word of His mouth. That's the power of our God. That's the one that we pray to. You can't even imagine what He can do. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." The NIV says ask or imagine. Beyond what you can think up, such tremendous power is available. And He moves on our behalf when we pray. Now, the first thing we have to do for our prayers to be effective is we have to ask. I know, I told you simple, right? I'm telling you, and this is the first thing. In fact, in a way, in a sense, it's the most important thing. Your prayers aren't going to get answered if they weren't prayed. You got to pray. You got to ask for a prayer to be effective. That's the way it works. We ask. That prayer, the one prayer that just almost never gets answered is the one that wasn't prayed. James 4:2 says, you don't have because you didn't ask. How about that? Is that truth? It is. You don't have because you didn't ask. Now, I know some of you are thinking, oh, but I asked for this and I didn't get it. Did your kids ever ask you for something and didn't get it? And maybe it just wasn't time yet. I mean, we don't know all the answers to all of life's questions, but here's the thing. This is truth. James says, you don't have because you don't ask. Billy Graham said, heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask. So, it may sound like cliche, but let me tell you, prayer is the difference between success and failure. Prayer is the difference between victory and defeat. Prayer's the difference between peace and turmoil. Prayer makes the difference in somebody being set free or not. There's one man that the disciples couldn't cast a demon out of. Jesus said this kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. Prayer makes the difference. We just need to realize that so much of the time, prayer is what's making the difference. It makes the difference between unity and strife. Let me tell you how you deal with strife. The very best way to deal with strife, you get people to pray. You get people to pray together. I'm just telling you, prayer brings unity. I mean, that's how the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. They were in one accord. Prayer. Prayer's the difference in you going down the right path or the wrong path. It's how you get wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. See, that's the difference maker. It's not just about how smart you are, how high your IQ. Because I want to tell you, when you got the wisdom of God, you got what you need to make the right choice. Prayer's the difference in the right doors being open. Prayer's what makes the difference in your children serving God or not. Oh, now, preacher, you can't make blanket statements like that. Yes, I can. Listen to me. You say, well, I pray they're not serving God. Well, don't quit. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep praying, keep praying. Well, Jesus said it. I'm going to show it to you in a minute in the scripture, but you just got to keep praying. Prayer's the difference in fruitful ministry. I mean, apart from Him, we can do nothing. I got to do it. Preachers, I'm one. Preachers today, man, you want to put together a sermon? They got AI programs. You just put your topic in or just put a verse in. Here pops up all the sermons you want. Now I want you to hear something. There's nothing wrong with a preacher learning from another preacher. I mean, we all need to learn. We all need to be taught. And none of us has all truth. We learn from each other. And you know, people have been reading commentaries and books and things for a long, long time. But I'm telling you, it's a different world that we live in 2024, where once upon a time, when a young man wanted to get a sermon from God, he got alone with his Bible and a notepad, and he sat there and prayed and prayed and sought God. And now you just get on the internet and you can find a bazillion sermons just ready for you to preach them. But let me tell you what the difference is. You got to have prayer, because without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's just a bunch of words or entertainment at best. There's nothing wrong with, you know, when you found this joke book and you used a joke. I'm not criticizing. No, I'm just telling you, though, that this is the most important part of ministry is prayer. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about preaching at church or if you're talking about being a good husband or being a good wife and raising godly children. I'm telling you, we can't leave the prayer out. It's the most important part, because apart from him, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. How in the world do we think that we can have good fruit in our lives? John 15, Jesus says it very plainly. You're going to bear fruit. You got to abide in him. Apart from him, you can do nothing. Prayer. It is the difference in us accomplishing God's will and purpose in our lives. Jesus said we're to pray for his will to be done. Pray. You got to pray. We know we should pray. Why is it so often that we end up not praying? Sometimes we get complacent. The very thing I've already mentioned, that we just think, well, is it really going to matter? Or maybe it's not even a conscious thought, but it's just there in our attitude. Because if we really know that it matters, then we won't be complacent about it. And sometimes I think for many, although it's hard for us to own this, prayer becomes a religious ritual, a duty, an obligation, some kind of a spiritual exercise that we're supposed to do, and there's no joy in that. And get this, you see, when it becomes that, there's no expectation, there's no faith that God is going to answer those prayers because we're just doing it because we're supposed to. I want to tell you, if we understand prayer and understand this message tonight, we pray because it is exciting to pray knowing that we serve a God that can do anything. And you can always say, but what about the prayer that wasn't answered? What about the prayers that were answered? Some of you, you wouldn't even be, I'm going to say all of you, you wouldn't be sitting here tonight if there wasn't somebody's prayer answered. Whether it was yours or your grandmother's or some neighbor or some person you didn't even know prayed for you. But sometimes we think we just don't have time. Or we think that's why. It's not really. But like our responsibility and our task are just too much. We can't slow down to pray. Isn't it amazing that the Lord Jesus came and did all that he did in ministry in 3 years, and yet he had time to pray? Isn't it amazing that the Apostle Paul, who was so driven and went from town to town starting churches, he always had time for prayer? In fact, Jesus and Paul are wonderful examples to us because it seems that though their responsibilities and their tasks were so great, rather than keeping them from prayer, it drove them to prayer. Jesus prayed all night before he picked the 12. You see, what if you did that before you had to make some big decision in life? Things might go better. But here's the thing, you see, when we think that we have responsibilities and I got work to do, and you know, it ought to cause us to realize I need the Lord's help today. I mean, you don't need a whole lot of help sitting in front of the TV set, right? But if you're going to do something that matters, you need God's help. Whatever it is, I tell you, we ought to realize that we need the Lord's help. Paul had this concern for the churches daily. He prayed for the churches. Why? Because he knew that prayer was the key. He knew that what they needed was God's help, and prayer's the way to get it. Who knows how much trouble we could avoid, how much heartache we could be spared, how many mistakes we wouldn't make, how much time we would have saved if we prayed. A lot of times we'll talk to other people. We'll look for answers elsewhere. I just think it's crazy. Believers will spend 2 hours Googling something and 2 minutes in prayer. Oh, Google, mighty Google, we worship you. We worship you. Too far? Maybe. If you want to search for answers, I suggest the scripture instead of Google. When all else fails, well, got nowhere else to go. I guess we're going to have to pray. Now, sometimes we stop praying or we pray less because we got discouraged. I mean, we prayed and nothing happened. Sometimes you pray and things get worse. And I've said this once already. I'm going to say it again. I understand life is complicated. It's not like God is our heavenly vending machine, you know. We just throw in a couple of prayers and ka-ching, we get what we want. It's not like that. He is God. And we're going to talk about that a little more later, about our relationship with God. But I want you to understand that sometimes unanswered prayers are a good thing. Anybody think that I scored big when it came to a wife? Oh, man. I married way up. I would have married a woman that would have tortured my soul if God would have answered my prayers. I'm so glad he had something so far exceeding abundantly above what I asked for. So when you get an unanswered prayer, don't quit praying. You just keep praying. You just trust God in the midst of that, and you just keep on praying. Jesus tells a parable in Luke chapter 18. It's called the parable of the persistent widow. She kept going to an unjust judge. She just kept going and asking until he finally gave her justice. In Luke 18 and 1, in the NIV, it describes it this way. It says, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. That tells us very plainly why Jesus told the parable. That they would always pray and not give up. Always pray. How often are you supposed to pray? Always pray and don't give up. You don't give up, you keep praying. Always pray. This is why I told the parable. Always pray and don't give up. Now in the parable, the woman is going to an unjust judge who doesn't fear God or man. But because she just keeps coming, he's going to go ahead and do what she wants. And he says, how much more? See, not the same. Our Heavenly Father is not an unjust judge. He is the just judge of all the earth. And he will always do right. And Jesus says, he will speedily avenge. So I just want you to understand, we're coming to a Heavenly Father who hears our prayers. And yes, sometimes we have to be persistent. We have to keep asking. We have to keep coming to God and praying. We don't give up. Men are always to pray and never give up. See, we don't just pray when we hear our favorite song and we kind of get stirred up, you know, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And we don't just pray when everything is falling apart. We're supposed to always pray. The church needs a return to being a praying people. It's amazing how few people really think that prayer is important. Jesus' words are still true and still need to be said. My Father's house is to be a house of prayer. And people think we're old-fashioned. In fact, I'm gonna take the responsibility for this. As we pray at the beginning of our service, and we pray in the middle of our service, and we pray at the end of the service, And they say real pious things like, well, we do our praying before, ahead of time. Okay. I suppose the money changers could have said, well, Jesus, we done all the praying already. We're doing business now. I'm telling you, the church always finds a way not to pray if we can. We need to always find a way to pray. Prayer is the most important part of anything that involves the Lord. That's how you get his help. Prayer's what makes the difference. Why would Jesus tell us to pray if prayer doesn't work? Jesus was never about religious ritual. Never, ever, ever. In fact, he was opposed to religious ritual. He was about what was real and what works. And if he tells us to pray, it's because it works. One of the biggest reasons that believers don't think prayer makes a difference is this false doctrine. It's the teaching that God is sovereign and therefore he's going to do what he's going to do no matter what we do. It doesn't matter if we pray. And that attitude infects many major denominations, but it is even a part of the secular culture around us every day. It's actually a mix of secular and religious culture that we live in. Because I want to tell you, most people in America, they're religious. They don't call it that, but they're religious. They believe in God, but they believe in a God who is far off, a God who has the power, but he sits up in heaven and he pulls the strings as he sees fit and he does what he thinks, and it doesn't really matter if you little peon, if you pray or not, he's up there deciding, and you know, you're praying, that doesn't mean anything. And you see, that attitude infects, and so many people are influenced by that. If you realize that your prayer really matters to God and make a difference, you'll ask. Ask. I think that mindset keeps more people from praying than any other issue. They just don't really believe that their prayer makes a difference in what God is going to do. And then the same people will turn around and they'll say, do you see what's going on? Why doesn't God do something? Why did the Lord let this happen? It's God's fault. How about because nobody prayed? Because they didn't think it would matter. They didn't ask. So, God is sovereign. That is true. Sovereign. That doesn't mean, I mean, here, this is not a definition for sovereign. Ignores the prayers of his people. That's not a definition for sovereign. Sovereign means supreme ruler. That's what sovereign means. Supreme ruler. And here's what the Bible says in Psalm 66 and 7. He rules by his power forever. He has all power and he has all authority. See, he's the one that we need to be talking to. He is the supreme ruler of the universe and he can do whatever he wants, however he wants, and he has chosen to move and work this way when people pray. So that ain't how I'd do it. If I was God, I'd just do what I want. Well, we're all glad you're not God. And we don't understand all of this, but I believe you're going to understand some of it a little better before you leave tonight. But I'm telling you, God has chosen to work this way. Now, there are things that God does every day without us asking him to. I mean, I didn't even ask for the sun to come up this morning, and it did. But there are so many things that even though he is sovereign ruler of the universe and has all the power, he's not going to move until we pray. That's why Jesus says, pray like this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Asking for God to do his will? Yes. You got to pray it in. It's not automatic. He's not just going to do it whether you pray or not. We have to pray. And oh, how people have taken that very prayer and turned it into some kind of religious baloney. Just say this 400 times. You did something bad, well, you know, say this. Okay. Forget about the blood of Jesus. Listen, there's a reason that Jesus taught us to pray this way. Because we got to pray for his will to be done. He wants us to pray that way. He waits for somebody to pray. And he responds to prayers prayed in faith. That's why Jesus says in Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, ask. You got to ask. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Well, there's a real key right there. You got to believe you receive them. But listen, you got to ask. Who said this? Jesus. Jesus doesn't lie. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive, and you will have them. One thing's for sure, God does answer prayer. Maybe there's some things we don't know yet and we don't understand yet. That's okay. We do know this. God does answer prayer. And if we believe that, we'll ask for a lot more. He has all the power, all the authority, all the resources to answer our prayers. It seems to me we ought to be talking to God a whole lot more. We pray and we run through our list. We say, well, God, save everybody. Well, Lord, pray that you would take care of this, take care of that. Let me see how long I've been praying. 3 minutes. I ain't got nothing else. I'm out. Then we go meet our friend for coffee. We can talk 30 minutes or an hour like it's nothing. Where'd the time go? We got things backwards. We need to learn how to talk to our Father. We talk to him enough, I tell you, you'll start hearing him talk to you. And I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm talking about having a real relationship with God. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, the Father knows the things that we have need of before we even ask. And he tells us this because we're not supposed to pray like heathen people do, where they think that by their many words, they're going to be heard. You're saying, oh, preacher, you just told us we need to pray longer. It's the attitude. It's not that we think, if I pray long enough, I'm going to twist God's arm and get him to do what I want. Or if I pray long enough, it's like I put enough money in the vending machine and I'm going to finally get what I want. That's not it. He knows what you need before you even ask. Let me just tell you, we ought to be asking for a lot more things. But know this. He didn't say not to ask. In fact, in the very next chapter in Matthew 7:7-8, he says, ask, ask, ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Wow. Such powerful promises from our Savior. Now, I'm just going to tell you, we don't really have a single word that translates these verbs and get their full meaning. ask, seek, and knock. They just use one word because they're trying to keep it as a strict translation. But the verb form there is actually a linear verb. It's keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. It's not like, well, I asked one day, you know. If God didn't answer your prayer yesterday, don't quit praying. Go back and you pray again. You keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on knocking. We all have needs arise and problems and things that we failed to take to the Lord. And maybe we intended to pray about something and we just didn't do it. I just want to tell you, we got to be careful that we ask. James 4:2, I mentioned it earlier. You do not have because you do not ask. Now James, he goes on and he clarifies and he says, you ask and you still don't have because you ask with the wrong motive, that you might consume it upon your selfish desire. See, sometimes, yeah, we're asking for things we shouldn't even be asking for. Never forget the guy that wanted prayer after a service one day. And he said, yeah, I just want you to pray that my girlfriend's husband will let her go. That ain't how I prayed, if you were wondering. But it's amazing how we can't, you know, that might be an extreme example, but it's amazing how sometimes we're selfish in our prayers and that's why they're not answered. But James says, you have not because you do not ask. I'm telling you, gotta ask because God moves and works and blesses his people. He responds to prayer. And nowhere does the Bible teach that God is just going to step in and do what he's going to do, even though nobody ever prayed. The Bible doesn't teach that, ever. He is sovereign, but he's chosen to work this way, that he answers the prayers of his people. I think that one reason he's chosen to work this way is that without prayer, how often would we really even look to God? You see, if God just did everything, if God just took care of everything in our life, would we even think of him? Or would we just think that it was our good luck or our fate? Or even worse, our own efforts and intelligence? You see, prayer brings us to a place of humility and dependence and trust upon the Lord. Listen, prayer is the heartbeat of the Christian life. Without prayer, you don't have a relationship with God. Why doesn't God just fix everything? This is the attitude of a lot of people. They may not express it this way, but this is their attitude. It's like, why doesn't God just fix everything? I mean, if I was God, that's what I would do. I would just fix everything. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He wants us to know him that way, where we look to him and we trust him and we believe him. And we look to him as our healer. That we look to him as our provider. Well, I'm a good provider. See, that is exactly what I'm talking about. It's so common that when things do go right and things just fall into place, nobody ever even gives the Lord a thought. We should thank him for every single blessing because no good gift comes any other way but by the Father. And yet in our world, and even among a lot of believers, anything that just goes their way, when you have a financial need, or you need a job, or you need a raise, or your child gets sick. But then it all just kind of works out without so much as a word of prayer. God took care of it. Did you know that those things happen a lot in our world for people that don't even know God? Just, you know, things just kind of work out sometime. Oh, they got a new job and the kid got better. They didn't think of God. They never even acknowledged the Lord. But when we come to the place where we humble ourselves before God and we say, Father, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. I don't even know what to do, Father. I pray this prayer every week. Help me. You see, we come to a place where we're relying upon Him, we're trusting Him, and our faith is in Him. He wants us to know Him that way. Listen, to know that He loves us, to know that He cares for us, to know that He is our shepherd, that He's watching over us. See, He wants that kind of relationship, that intimacy with us, where we come to Him and we talk to Him and we pray. Ask and you'll receive. True. True. But hear me now. It's not just about the receiving. It's about the relationship. It's about this process of us coming to the Lord and talking to Him. More than anything else, our personal prayer life shows the reality of our relationship with God. Your prayer life shows the true reality of your relationship with God. That's hard to get around. I mean, we can say we know God, but what does our prayer life say? That's one thing to know all about God, but to really know Him requires daily prayer. More than anything else, our personal prayer reveals the consistency of our relationship with God. Or do we call Him up? We say, hey, Lord, it's me. Remember me? I know He's there if I need Him. People say that kind of stuff to me, and I'm just like, wow. You know what's really awesome? To have a real relationship with Him where you say, I need Thee every hour. Well, we do what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, we pray without ceasing. Whatever we're doing, we need His help. We're talking to Him, we're looking to Him. Our prayer life isn't just a few minutes on our knees, but it's something that we continue to do through our day. We talk to our Father. You see, it's about a relationship. And more than anything else, our prayer life tells the significance of our relationship with the Lord. Is He the most important thing in your life? Is He truly first in your life? Your prayer life will testify There are a lot of people that will miss the news. There's a lot of people that, you know, they got their daily routines and prayer just doesn't happen to be part of that mix. But your prayer life tells what the significance of your relationship with the Lord really is. I know this might be kind of hard for some, but I just want to encourage you. Listen, let the Holy Spirit convict you tonight. Let Him change you. See, that conviction, it's not to condemn you, but we need to be convicted about this. This is how change happens. As we hear the word and the Holy Spirit convicts us and we repent. We say, you know what? I'm not going to be the same anymore. By the way, I had to get it first. And I got it. You don't be laughing at me. Our adversary, the devil, he is a master deceiver, and he'll use anything, he'll try anything to keep us from praying. He knows what power is available to us. Oh, the privilege of prayer. And you know, there's so many great needs in our world. We see so much wrong in our world. What's the answer? Pray. 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 We see the erosion of values. There's so little fear of the Lord and less real faith in God. A big part of the problem is there's less and less prayer. We got to pray. And I know this message may not be popular, but I'm telling you, we need to be a praying church. That early church, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. They went from house to house breaking bread. They also went from house to house praying. It was just part of the church culture, and it needs to be part of our church culture. In a speech made in 1863, Abraham Lincoln said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." How much more proud, how much more self-sufficient, how much more arrogant has our country become to think that it's just our American superiority and ingenuity and strength and power, that it is of our own doing. We need to go back to the God who made us and realize that that's the only way. What are you going to do about all this going on in the Middle East? Ooh, pray. What are you going to do about Russia and Ukraine? Is there going to be a nuclear war? Pray. Why aren't we praying more? That's the answer. What are you going to do? Oh, let's post on Facebook. That'll do something. I'm going to post. Everybody's going to know what I think. You need to pray. Posting on Facebook. What does that do? I want to tell you, when you pray, that does something. You're praying to the Almighty God who can do anything. They say, oh, don't waste your vote. You got to vote. That isn't a drop in the bucket to the waste of the opportunity, the privilege of prayer to ask and not pray. That's where the real power is. It's in prayer. We got to be a praying people. I'm going to make this short because I know I'm over. Y'all just forgive me. I was kind of wound up tonight. But I'm going to just give you these real quick. This one because of time. But Exodus 32:11. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God. You see, the Lord was about to destroy the children of Israel because of their great sin. And Moses pleaded with the Lord his God. And then in verse 14, so the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. Why? Because somebody prayed. Ezekiel 22, it tells God looked for a man who would stand in the gap and make up the hedge before him, but he found none, and so he brought destruction on the people. You got one example where there was a man that stood in the gap named Moses, and another example where nobody prayed and it made a difference. You see, it matters whether or not you pray. Do you know somebody? See, the Holy Spirit is able to bring people to your mind while you're praying, and it's not for nothing. A name, maybe you know somebody that's struggling. You know somebody that's sick. You know somebody that's backslidden. You know somebody that's away from God and not in church anymore. Maybe a name comes to your mind, you see their face, you think of this person and you think, oh, it's all good, they don't need my prayers, but the Holy Spirit has put them on your heart. You don't know what's going on in their life. If you can't think of anything else to pray for, you pray for the preacher that he'll boldly make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul asked for prayer, so I ain't ashamed to do it, but I'm just telling you, you see, we got so many, what is all this going on in the schools? There's been 45 school shootings this year. We need to be praying. That's where the real power is. That's where the real change is. Our God can fix anything. You know, we got a lot of crazy, mixed up, sick, demon-possessed people in this world. But our God is bigger. And we need to be a praying people. The first thing about effective prayer is you gotta ask. Y'all forgive me. This message tonight, I was supposed to be short so we could have prayer time. But I know the teens and the children are out, and I gotta let you go. So I'm gonna ask you to do me a favor tonight. And before you go to bed, would you bow your knee to the Father and just spend a few minutes in prayer tonight before you go to bed? I believe God's going to do a work in us, a lasting work, the beginning of a great work. Stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'm going to let you be dismissed.